All right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I bought a factory that makes word find puzzles.
Oh, like word searches, or like the first three words you see will tell you what your 2021 will be.
So it can do either. There's a big lever that I can pull in the middle that'll do one or the other. And if you set it in the middle, it kind of does both. Yeah.
Nice. Get you a factory that can produce both.
Yeah. I was surprised because I thought, hey, you know, we can do like some vanity press stuff on this too. Thinking, hey, printers are printers. But man, I can't tell you how much they laughed at me. You need a special printer that can do this jam.
Yeah. Printers are printers. How can it be that you and I should get along so awfully?
Yeah. So
secrets hurt no one.
What I figured was I would slam this bad boy into the middle, and it would put out a random grid of letters, and we could look at it and see if there's a game there.
Yeah, see how our 2020 is going to be or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know how my 2020 was. I wish I could find the person who made that word find. I've got a couple of things to ask him about.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hit this lever here.
Okay. All right. And then that good dot matrix printer sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. We're going to look at this. We're going to see. All right. I see blood. Gary will kill you. Let's see here. Everybody is laughing right now, but not at you, or not with you, at you. Sorry. What are you talking about, man? no, sorry. I'm seeing a bunch of stuff. I don't know. It's all I'm getting is just this stuff. Okay. Just the usual stuff that I see. But I also see mystery stories. Okay. That's a little generic. What about Mountains of Madness? Is there a Mountains of Madness game?
Weird, you know, if this show were about obscure Lovecraft adaptations, you know, this would be in there.
This would be in there. Game computers going nuts. There is one. Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering. Cole, we're all out of gloves, even the wet ones. You're going to have to bare hand this one.
Not even the wet ones, no.
Yeah, no, we're out of wet gloves. wet glove, I was only joking when I said.
This week we're talking about, this is the first for us, unless you count the Where's Waldo game. This is called Mystery Stories, Mountains of Madness. And this is a patron demand by Campano Logic, who put this into the machine and said, I honestly like hidden object games quite a bit. And in many ways, this is a good one, a decent adaptation of the Lovecraft story with some beautiful art. On the other hand, there's no other hidden object game where the central mechanic is quite as jarring in context. Oh no, everyone at the research station has been slaughtered. Now find 5 colored pencils, a chessboard, a feather, a bonnet, and 2 pillows.
That literally happens in the first.
It does.
The very beginning of this game. It's pretty funny.
With the things that killed them could still be there.
Yeah. It's explicitly still there. Yeah. Like the next, like when I stopped playing it, the clue was like, you know, the elder thing's still out there. Look out. That's not a clue to a hidden object game.
Nope.
I don't really know this genre very well. This is pretty fun.
Yeah. This is not terrible. Like, and just as like a bland, kind of boring, you know, not too difficult puzzle, but just like the clue, you know, basic point and click adventure game kind of thing. Yeah. This reminded me of like a mouse tutorial almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a mouse tutorial about dead dogs.
There's a moment, so because like the story, you're looking for Dyer, and you can give one of Dyer's you can give one of his gloves to the dog, and then the mm-hmm. dog runs off, and what the dog actually finds is Dyer's scarf, his red scarf, but it looks for all the world like that dog is holding Dyer's intestines in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, it's real corpsey.
Yeah,
and the individual, it does have nice art, except for the people who are standing around who look like they're insurance mascots.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, it's very funny. Like, you can click on me for advice, and the advice is going to be, you know, about flow and insurance and stuff, but it's about these mystical caverns and elder things and gigantic emperor penguins and shit.
I crashed my plane. You know, give me morphine. No, the syringe is empty. Yeah. I need morphine.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty funny. Uh-huh. Funny theming. It made me want a lot more of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do like the entire, because, you know, Lovecraft's in public domain. There's really no reason not to just do an entire series of hidden object games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, based on like the horror at Red Hook.
Right.
And then just really, really capitalize on that Breitbart audience.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. So apparently there are a few of these. If you just do a Lovecraft, just search for Lovecraft hidden object game. There appears to be one called Haunted Hotel Charles Dexter Ward. There's mystery stories is mostly at the top here. So there's at least one, and I know of a couple of other like explicitly horror haunted house themed ones that tell like mystery stories or stuff. You know, like, this is a cottage industry. These make at least at a time they made money, and I think
good money. Like,
just with a more casual audience. That generally, I think these are disparaged because they're aimed, they're targeted at women, older women. Yeah.
The mom set.
Yeah.
And the, it's a weird thing where like, part of these are just adventure games,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then part of them are literally like, just find all the objects, like a menu.
Yep.
Puzzle. And I remember when, these things were entirely the rage at like the back wall at like a Walmart.
Yes.
We still have software, maybe jewel disc just full of these things.
Yep.
You know, and I can understand, like, a lot of times they'll be like the vampire prince and shit like that. Like they've always kind of flirted with the supernatural, you know. This is the most explicitly horrific one that I've seen.
Yes.
Of these things.
But like, this is one that I stopped, not because I was bored or not because I got frustrated. I hit time.
hit object suffering time, or like the way I played this was through a demo.
Right.
Looking online, it looks like there's an iOS version, which would be the way to play this. And if that were still true, I probably would play it and, you know, play it to completion, before bed over this next course of this week. But, since I played a demo that installed like five big fish icons on my desktop and took, I 45 minutes to install this tiny game.
Yeah. I felt so filthy. It was like downloading. Okay, that's weird. It's not just one game. Mm-hmm. And is it downloading installer? That wasn't the installer. Okay, downloading game manager. No, I don't want that coupon. All right. So I've got the game here. Download demo. I thought that's what I was doing. Downloading installer.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. From big fish games. Just a
big fish.
I really am worried about my computer now.
Real big fish. These are the guys who, these guys do this, big fish games. This is the kind of, this is their zone. And their website is pretty incredible in terms of just being an artifact. That I downloaded this from. This is very funny. Big fish casino. you know, like download, it's very old timey.
I mean, the mascot for this, for all the world, you know, it's a fish. It looks like a slightly up-resed version of Gumshoe Gooper.
Big Gumshoe Gooper.
Energy. Yeah.
It's also every single one of these icons looks like it could belong to a casino game, or like a slot machine game.
Yep.
Which, before my mom passed on, she got really into those. She got a cell phone that was capable of doing slot machine games.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, like, I was trying to ask her and just be like, you know, what are you getting out of that? Cause you know, it's not real money or anything. Like, you know, what is fun? I was trying to figure out what was fun about it without hurting her feelings.
Right. Right.
You know? And it was literally just like, when you start them, they say, you know, get $70 billion in, you know, in Gary bucks or in like, you know, imaginary tooth fairy, things. Like, it's just, it's all fake.
Right.
And she just like, it's like a clicker. Like, it's just watching numbers go up.
I'm familiar with these. I mean, even back, like my dad and like my grandparents on that side had like, they just, when I was young, they kind of always had around like handheld LCD games, like handheld LCD Hearts and handheld LCD Poker or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, you know, they're the, like, he particular and crazy. What was crazy about the fishing one that we had was real fun because it had a little reel on the side of it. But also it had the slot machine one and it was so boring. That worked out to my favor though, because when I was playing Pokemon Red, when you get to the casino there, I was so bored by the slot machine and didn't have any time for it. I'm like, hey, Dad, do you want to play a slot machine game? Sure.
Like, outsource him.
Yep.
Like mining Bitcoin.
Yep. With dad power.
dad coin. Mining dad coin. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Boy. This does feel like, this company does feel to me a little bit like it's laundering like Russian human trafficking money or something.
A little bit. Kind of has that
when you look at the icons and stuff.
Yeah. Just occasionally we come across a publisher that has, like, when you look up their company information, they're based out of like the UAE or something like that. And it's like, I don't know, bud.
And they put out, you know, like 6 games a day.
Yeah.
That all use very similar assets.
Yes.
And such. Like, can you imagine, you know what I just think, I've mentioned this before, I think, on the show, but I just did a Breaking Bad rewatch.
Yes.
Whenever I see a game company like this, I imagine Jesse in the hangar at the end having to make these games on the little dog chain.
Yeah.
Like, being forced by Aryan nations to, like, create match threes.
Being marched around at gunpoint. Just going over to a big vat of assets and then going back over to the mechanics.
Yeah, just a big beard imagining himself like woodworking, but really he's just putting together match threes and, like, you know, only gamers with the highest IQs can solve this. And then it's like a knight standing in a big puddle of lava, not stepping in it.
Yep. You know? Pull the right pin. And those games are never about pulling the right pin. They're all army march game kind of things. Yeah. This company is based out of Washington. And, you know,
interesting.
They're making a product that people like, and we have no reason to believe that they're exploiting people, but it's definitely the feeling that I get, because I could not see myself being very happy making those.
No.
Right.
And it has big content farm.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling to it. One of the genres that they have is called Marble Popper. Based on that, what do you think a Marble Popper game is?
I mean, I go right to euphemism. I have no idea what a marble, probably Puzzle Bobble, Bust-a-Groove or whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. There we are. Yeah. Or like Snood would be the referent that people would have here.
The OG Marble Popper.
Yeah. Probably like Zuma as well. Yeah. They have Luxor in here. Yeah.
Yeah. These are the people who do Luxor. Whenever you click on any of these genres, you just see all their games under the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And there are hundreds and hundreds under each one.
Yes.
It is just wild. Like, this really feels off to me. I'm having a hard time with it. I don't know.
Man. But what's weird is, like, even the model, when you do the PC installer, is so antiquated. Because, like, they're, you know, this isn't a free game where you, like, pay money for energy or whatever. It's like, oh, this game is $9.99, or if it's your first one, it's $2.
And it was a time demo. I got to play it for 60 minutes.
I had to play about as much as I wanted, about as much as I cared to.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but it would have stopped me if I wanted to go further.
Yeah.
You know, just very, very surreal.
Well, what's weird about this, I'm looking at this and I see that it has that they've got the Toy Story license. And that's a big,
that is very strange.
That's big stuff. Like that's Disney, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very surprising to me.
Dark Parables, Return of the Salt Princess Collector's Edition.
All the names are really good.
Yep.
Dance Macabre, A Lover's Pledge Collector's Edition. Uh-huh. Can you stop a dangerous specter from destroying the opera?
I would like to think I could. Saga of the Nine Worlds, The Four Stags. Can you restore balance to the world tree in time?
All these are very funny to me.
Yeah,
it's really good.
You know what it is? It's Seinfeld. The Seinfeld movie titles.
Oh yeah, these are sack lunches.
Yeah,
I couldn't. It's fun to idea the idea of like I don't think I could play all of this company's games before I died.
No.
If I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
like, there's more content in this tiny little game developer that nobody who's listening to this has heard of
mm-hmm.
than there are days left in my life.
Yeah. And
and that's not just because I'm old.
Right. But like, you know, and given the nature of this, if you pick one, there is somebody out there who that is the only video game that they play. And they have played more hours of it than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Experts. Yeah.
Yes. Experts at Amaranthine Voyage, the Orb of Purity.
Dark Parable, Return of the Salt Princesses Collector's Edition.
Yep. I want to know about the Salt Princess.
Yeah, I'm interested in Salt Princess.
Yeah.
So this is an unusually dark and morbid hidden object game.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pivot us onto something that I think might have legs?
Sure.
We can go back to this, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found out something pretty recently. I was watching YouTube and somebody mentioned this, and then I verified it. You know Brian Wilson.
Beach Boys,
Beach Boy, famous recluse.
Yeah, because of Mike Love, which is understandable. Yeah.
If you didn't already know this trivia factoid, like let's say you were guessing, I feel confident I could give you 2,000 guesses as to what his favorite movie is, and you wouldn't guess it.
Master of Disguise, starring Dana Carvey.
You're weirdly close. It's Norbit.
Ah, his favorite movie.
Isn't that wild?
His favorite movie is Norbit?
Yeah, there's an interview he did where it's like, hey, what have you seen any good movies recently? And he's like, oh, I recently saw Norbit. It was great. And they're like, what's your favorite movie of all time? Norbit. And I'm just like, that's really the guy who wrote God Only Knows, huh?
Huh, yeah, okay.
Fucking loves Norbit.
Sloop John B., one of the best songs ever. Yeah. All right, yeah.
And now Norbit's about. It was making me wonder if there was a Norbit video game. You know, because if so, like, oh boy.
So, I mean, of course, an abject suffering emergency in that case. Norbit, 2007 American comedy movie. It's Eddie Murphy. It is one of the many kinds of movies that Eddie Murphy got away with making where he is every character.
He's all characters and all races.
Right. It was, you know, like Coming to America is a good movie. That's a funny movie. And then sure. He got into the Nutty Professor and it started getting, and then oops, the Klumps are now the main characters. Uh-oh. And they're fat and they fart and they eat a lot. Okay. Oops.
This movie has been clump-pilled to a degree that I can't quite handle.
It's very, very clumped.
The joke is that he plays a big lady named Rasputina who beats him up and treats him like garbage, and he's a nerd.
Yeah.
But just Eddie Murphy in a lady and fat suit.
Yes.
With a sexually adventurous and aggressive bent.
And, you know, so we see Eddie Murphy just going deeper and deeper down on that hole. And Adam Sandler was like, I need a piece of that. So let's do Jack and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which gave us the, the Dunkachino.
It did.
Which is more than Norbit's ever given us. Yeah, dude. Did you know that that's from Jack and Jill?
Okay. So here's where I get Dunkachino.
If you don't actually know what this is, like, I'm gonna lose my mind. Like there's a commercial, like a fake commercial, where Al Pacino is advertising a Dunkin' Donuts cappuccino.
Okay.
And it's a miracle. And it's from the end of Jack and Jill for some reason.
All right. It's really great. I've never seen the Dunkachino commercial, Gary.
Oh my God. Al Pacino pops out and they're just like, Al Pacino. He goes, it's not Al anymore. It's Dunk. It's so good. Like, it's really funny. It's a really funny commercial. And then the plot apparently is that Adam Sandler's an ad exec trying to make that. And then when Al Pacino sees the commercial, he's like, man, this sucks.
Huh.
And I'm like, no, that's the only good thing in this movie. At the very least, Jack and Jill justifies its existence that way.
Right. With that product placement. Is the Dunkachino an actual product?
I think that Dunkin' Donuts makes a cappuccino called a Dunkachino.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Norbit also stars Eddie Griffin as Pope Sweet Jesus, an ex-pimp and Norbit's friend. And Cat Williams as Lord Have Mercy, Pope's sidekick and friend.
I'm glad that it's letting us know everyone's friends.
Yeah.
You know.
We have Kristen Schaal as event organizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, probably slumming it there.
Well, yeah, you know, Kristen Schaal
is funny.
You got to get paid.
If you're like if you're on Saturday Night Live's cast and Eddie Murphy says, like, do you want to make a movie? I think you probably have to.
No matter how
Norbit it is.
I think so, because I think if it's like a certain kind of movie, like, I don't know, that's gonna ruin your career, but it's probably not gonna ruin mine. So
yeah.
I'll just come on and do it because nobody's gonna see it, and probably nobody's gonna remember me. You know, same thing with Adam Sandler. If Adam Sandler's like, hey, do you want to be on my movie? And it's like, well, sure, why not? Because you only ever make movies so we can all go on vacation. So fuck it. Yeah. Let's go to the Maldives, you know?
Like, it's not gonna hurt me.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. But I mean, so Brian Wilson.
Yes. Beach boy.
The boy of the beach.
The main one.
It seems equally likely that he's fucking with them or completely serious about it.
No way. That dude is one of the most sincere. I can't imagine him lying. Like Brian Wilson?
Yeah.
Like that guy is way too much of a weirdo to be fucking with an interviewer. Like he's the opposite of a Johnny Lydon, Bob Dylan.
Right. No, I guess I got the wrong read on his sincerity. Yeah,
he's a weirdo, but he's like this weird super hippie acid case.
Right, right.
Like weirdo, not a like I'm the cosmic jester, I'm gonna fuck with you kind of guy. Like much more like pure hippie.
Yeah.
Than that.
Yeah. Huh.
So
no.
Yeah, and he's like on Norbit.
And just like that has the cadence of what movie have you seen recently? In Norbit. What's your favorite? Yeah. Probably the last movie that I saw, Norbit.
I mean, that could be, I don't think it's been fucking with him. That could just be like his poor acid-addled brain. You know, because like Ryan Wilson's a very tragic story.
Yes.
You know, that could have just been recency bias on his part. Mm-hmm. But it is just a pretty funny idea that it's just like, you know, you get to go like, oh man, I fucking love the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And then you go and you get to go hang out in Brian Wilson's house and you're looking at all his like platinum records and shit.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, hey man, you want to stay for dinner? And he like throws on Norbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, yeah, this is Rasputina. You know, she's big and angry.
Yeah.
And horny, dude. Thanks, Brian.
The joke is that she's horny and big. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what if a fat woman is horny? And Brian Wilson's like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
So this is Eddie Murphy's Teenage Symphony to God. he's making.
Huh.
You know.
Now I'm looking at other Eddie Murphy movies. I'm trying to see if there are any of them that have that would have a game based on them. But like, was there a Beverly Hills Cop game? Maybe
there's got to be like a ZX Spectrum.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills.
Huh.
Cop game.
Because that's what it would have to be. And the game of his that would make that would be or the movie of his that would be the most gameable, I think, would be Golden Child, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would play the Golden Child, like an adventure game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, based on the Golden Child, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh my God. Beverly Hills Cop, 2006 video game, first person shooter based on the film series of the same game. Name. Yeah. It's a PlayStation 2 game. That Jeff Gerstmann.
There's also an Amiga game as well.
Okay.
So we were both right.
yeah, it came out in 1990. And I have no idea if the PS2 game has a if it has a like the likeness of Eddie Murphy in it. I wonder if they're just using the name made by Atomic.
It being first person, yeah. I don't have too much.
Or if they got the voice, yeah,
that's incredible.
I don't know.
Apparently, that guy's going through a renaissance. Like, he did all of his embarrassing 90s and 2000s movies, and the last couple things he's done, people have said have been very good.
Yeah. The last thing that I saw him in was Dreamgirls, where he was making where he was playing kind of like a James Brown kind of figure.
Yeah.
But I have not seen him in anything since then. And I will not lie to you. When you said Norbit, I got that confused with Meet Dave.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get that confused with Holy Man as well. In this Beverly Hills Cop PS2 game, it's a first person shooter where your guns and your hands and your gun are always on the screen, including when you're walking around the police station talking to your partner and stuff.
Cool.
So you just like casually walk up holding the gun in their face and they ask you for the password to the evidence lockup. It's not even a fucking password. I got a gun in your face.
Yeah. Here's my password.
Stick a banana in your tailpipe.
Yeah.
You're fucking die.
Here's my password. BLAM. Blam.
Yeah.
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 Oh man.
Good God.
If it's interesting. So I was thinking about if I were going to make a video game about the Mountains of Madness.
Okay.
A secret cool idea would be to do it like Frostpunk.
Where, oh. Like,
you're just doing the expedition.
Yeah.
And managing it.
Oh yeah, you know? make it like resource management kind of stuff. Yeah, like you just you have the base camp, and you have like obviously you would need more people, but like deciding how to use like your who's going to be on, like researchers, who's going to be back like decoding the text, stuff like that. And you had to make decisions about like which, you know, do we go any further here? Do we camp? Yeah, that'd be badass.
You cut out there for a second, but I assumed you were just plus wanting my excellent idea.
I was plus wanting it. Yeah, no, I was just I'm gonna leave that in so people know what we sometimes have to deal with. And also we don't edit this show.
The podcaster's burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all bear our own crosses.
Yeah.
I think that would be really fun.
That would be fun. And you know, it's not, I mean, I like that story an awful lot. It's one of my favorites, but it's not the most exciting of them, right?
No. It's largely descriptions of mountains and like inventory manifests.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like it's pretty boring.
It's archaeological details about this cool society and, you know, descriptions of neat buildings and vistas. Yeah.
They establish a real baseline of like what is ice though.
Yeah.
For quite a while.
They do have to take several core samples. Hey, you know, my whole brand is that I like boring things, Gary.
No, I know. I have the idea of establishing a boring baseline before you do something exciting on the brain because it's recovering Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So,
yes. You know.
We do not go into the metal realms, the bad tech from the old world.
But the cool stuff is in the metal world. Okay.
Yeah. No, we don't go into that. We must do the trial that is the becoming.
Yeah. At least we're through that.
Outlander.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad to. I don't mean to harp on it. I just got through it last night and was mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So what else is in the news?
What else is in the news? like the Beach Boys, you talk about that, and I can never remember of like if I've told the story or like what part of it. My grandparents, they used to do a lot of like catering down at the Delaware County Fairgrounds, which is down close to Columbus, and there were, you know, generally it was mostly horse shows, but occasionally it was like concerts and stuff. And a group came through, they had like a show come through, and it was headlined by the Beach Boys, and Creedence Clearwater Revisited was opening for them. And I was like, oh, the Beach Boys, I know them, maybe from Full House. Yeah. You know, it's like kids listen to Beach Boys music, you know. I was probably like 10 at the time or something like that. No, it would have been like 11 or 12. And the Beach Boys were total dicks. like ordering us, like ordering me and us around. I had no idea who Mike Love was at the time, but it was like, we will not fucking see you. We're just going to yell out what we want. It's like, hey, I work, like, I don't even work. I'm just here helping out my grandparents. I'm not being paid for this. Don't yell at me.
You were the Jesse Pinkman
to
the Beach Boys Aryan Nation guys.
Yep.
They just kept you in their shed and made you come up with harmonies.
Yeah. And then, you know, later as I was getting into bands and I learned to just really dislike Mike Love and Principle, I was like, oh, that was that dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Creedence, super nice people. Like, they let me hang out back with them. Yeah.
No son and a son.
Like, they saw my Game Boy and they talked about how much they love Tetris. And I was like, I have no idea who you are. But I'll grow up to like your music and I will have this very fond recollection of you guys having the time for this kid and also, like, you know, just making conversation and sharing interest. It was good.
If I could rewrite reality, one thing I would rewrite is that both of those bands wrote a song about their experience with you. And they released them as a double side A-sided single.
The cold cut.
We're like, just, I want to hear the Beach Boys song about some little dipshit who didn't give them their sprites fast enough. And then the Creedence song about how cool Tetris is and makes you feel like you're young.
Yep. please. Yes. I also wish I could rewrite reality. Can that be my heaven wish?
it'd be a good, like, if I had the Infinity Stones, that'd be a good thing, like, first thing to do.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't hurt anybody.
Like Thanos would be like, really, that? And I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. There'd be two songs about coal. It couldn't be bad for the network. You know, like, our Patreon might go up like 70 or 80 bucks.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Nothing bad's going to happen from that.
My anecdote would be a little bit more interesting. Yeah.
Well, if I was writing it, like, you know, purely from scratch, you would not know that the songs existed, but I would have known and not known they were about you until you told me the story.
And I told and you were like, oh, you're Tetris boy?
Oh. Yeah. you're the kid who was slow on with the sprites?
Yep.
That Mike Love hated?
Yep.
Holy shit. You're the Auntie Rhonda?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know what you would call the person who's slow on sprites, but yeah, that'd be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you ended up on a bunch of like BuzzFeed, like, where is he now?
Mid-level podcaster. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who didn't get Mike Love his salami fixings quite fast enough.
Yeah. Just, you know, let the crudité tray get just a little bit low. I can see the tray. I should be seeing broccoli florets. You chubby little shit.
Whenever Mike Love is not seeing broccoli florets,
Heaven help you.
It's time to go.
Jesus. Yeah. That's my my Beach Boys story.
Yeah.
And my Creedence story.
Beach Boys story.
Yeah. Fuck you, Mike Love. Bad.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because he's the only bad one. And then Brian Wilson is like an interesting, sad weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the rest of them are just kind of guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's sad. They don't get a thing.
Nope.
You know, Dennis Wilson.
School, man. I'm just going to, I'll stand here being inert.
Does anyone need the bass? If people like the show, what should they do? Cool.
I was about to say send a to Mike Love. No, don't do that.
Oh, no, yeah, don't. I don't know, man.
No, okay. I'll take out the threat of violence.
Just bleep it. But like, yeah, don't. Shouldn't do that.
No.
And if you bleep it, it's funnier too, because people are going to think you said like send a dismembered, you know, a freestanding nut or something.
Right, right. It's torture him. With where the other one go. Yeah, no, if you like us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and pledge some money to us. You get bonus episodes of this show. You get whole other bonus shows. Just today, Elden Ring, that trailer and we got a release date. That is where you're going to get the Elden Ring episodes of Bonfireside Chat. When those come down the line, it's a good place to go. Patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate you doing that. Mm-hmm. You can also suggest games or demand them mm-hmm. there as well. You can leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast and Podcast Addict.
Yes, you can. And I wish you would.
Yeah. And tell your friends.
Oh, of course. Tell your friends. Yeah. Share this joy. And also, hurt my glove. No, don't hurt my glove.
Yeah, no, no. Send a freestanding ball to Norbit. And what can they do?
As our friend, Gavin Jamieson on Twitter always says, until next time, taste the meat, not the heat.